Welcome to the Journey Church podcast, where as a church, we believe that Jesus should be accessible to anyone. So if you're at home, work, or somewhere in between, you can have access to the weekend worship experience. We'd love for you to stay connected with us by visiting us at journeyorl.com or any social media platform using @journeyorl. Thanks for being with us, and we really hope you enjoy this message.
Listen, I've got to get straight into the message and encourage you today right away, because the irony of today is that on the biggest weekend of our church, they gave me the shortest preaching time. Said, you got to be done quick, because this is the day where everybody comes to church and it gets so packed that if I don't get you out on time, you're going to get shot at in the parking lot. I mean, shouted at. Somebody's going to shout at you. Somebody's going to shout at you in the parking lot. And so we got to get you blessed and on your way. But I don't want to rush this, because I do believe, listen, we've been praying for you. I think God's got a message for you and the people that you brought to church today, if it's your first time. And I got to say, it's a little frustrating that that is the reality, because I don't know if you know, but like I'm the pastor, so like I'm kind of in charge. But I couldn't change it. I talked to the creative team and I was like, maybe we can cut out one announcement. Maybe we can make that video 15 seconds shorter. If we take the word "the" out of every song, I'm pretty sure we can get like 18 more seconds. I can use that in my message. And I wanted to preach to anybody in the room today or watching online who feels like I feel. I don't understand, you might say to yourself. This is my life. Aren't I in charge of my life? If I'm in charge, how come I can't change it? I want to speak to someone who has an area of your life. Listen, you've already done everything you know to do. You're trying to shift things. You're trying to move into new spaces and places, but nothing you do is working and nothing has changed. I want to speak to someone who maybe you have a child who's misbehaving and you've done everything you can to change that child and nothing's changing. You've disciplined them, nothing changed. You tried positive reinforcement, nothing changed. You tried being on top of them, nothing changed. You tried giving them space, nothing changed. You thought it was a sleep issue, so you started overdosing them with melatonin, nothing changed. You start lacing their milk with NyQuil and nothing changed. I'm just kidding. You didn't do that, but you thought about it for sure. Then you brought in the professionals, you brought in the therapists and nothing changed. And you brought in the nutritionists and nothing changed. Finally, you started Googling exorcist in Orlando near me and you cannot get rid of that demon. Nothing changed. Speaking to somebody who's still single and they've done all the things and they've been on all the apps. They got on the eHarmony, nothing changed. The Bumble, nothing changed. Christian Mingle, nothing changed. Farmers Only, nothing changed. You're just like, somebody got to swipe right on me. Whatever app they got, get a picture on it. Maybe your marriage is on the brink and you tried counseling and nothing's changed. You tried date nights, nothing's changed. You tried setting boundaries with your mother-in-law, nothing's changed. You tried role-playing. Welcome to Journey Church, we keep it 100. Came home just like a fireman, nothing changed. Husband was a Star Wars fan, he did a little side buns, nothing changed. Maybe you're caught up in your finances and nothing's changed. You tried getting on a budget. You cut everything you know to cut, man. You cut all the streaming apps out of your budget. You started cutting your own lawn. You started cutting your own hair. And nothing changed. Maybe you come to church today and you're sick. And you started on the chemo. And you went vegan. And you're sleeping 10 hours. And you're doing the exercise. Nothing's changing. Or worse, someone you love is sick, and all you can do is sit back and watch because nothing's changing. Here is the message today. Listen, maybe this is for you. This is for anybody, listen, who has tried to change it. This is the question I'm trying to answer. What do you do when there's nothing you can do? What do you do when there's nothing you can do? This is the title of my message today. When you hit the wall. When you hit the wall. Now, coming down behind me from the ceiling, although you cannot see it, is a giant wall coming down very, very slowly. And we're not bringing this wall down from the ceiling to wow you or impress you. Quite honestly, the wall weighs a ton, and there was nowhere we could pick it up from there to there. So we invented this whole thing just so we could bring it down. Number two, the reason why the wall is coming out of nowhere, because we were trying to communicate that oftentimes in life, the walls come out of nowhere. You weren't even looking for it. Like, me and my son used to be tight in the second grade, and then out of nowhere, it's like a stranger. Me and my daughter used to be best friends back when they were in high school. Now she grew up an adult. We barely hardly talk. That came out of nowhere. We were so tight. It used to just be a bottle of wine to unwind on the weekends, and then out of nowhere, it turned into a bottle of Jack every night to go to sleep. Used to be healthy and strong and young, and then out of nowhere, a bump showed up on your arm, and now that diagnosis that the doctor gave, man, that came out of nowhere. You and your spouse used to be so much in love, and then out of nowhere, you looked over and the feelings were just gone. What do you do when you've hit the wall? If that's you today, let me encourage you. You might not know what brought you to this wall, but you being at this wall is what brought Jesus to this world. This is my whole sermon. It's one sentence. After you get it, you can leave, but don't. You dress nice. You might as well stay for the remaining 28 minutes of this sermon. My whole sermon, are you ready? Listen, Jesus can change for you what you cannot change for yourself. And I'm living proof. And you're surrounded by living proof. So I want to start my message today. Listen, not where Jesus' ministry ends, at the tomb and the cross, although he's still ministering to us from heaven. That's where most Easter sermons start. I actually want to go to the beginning, Luke chapter 4. Jesus is sharing with us why he came. And he came to do what we cannot do for ourselves. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Someone say the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Someone say the prisoners. And recovery of sight for the blind. Someone say the blind. And to set the oppressed, someone say the oppressed, free to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, those might just seem like a random collection of random people, but every single one of those categories was chosen by Jesus to communicate to us a community of people, listen, that could not change things for themselves. You blind, you can't change your blindness. You're poor. Let's start there. Let's start at the poor. You might look at somebody and be like, well, if you're poor, get on welfare. If you're poor, get on Social Security. My man. In Middle East Roman times of the Bible, there was no Social Security. There was no welfare. There was no government assistance. There was no food stamps. There wasn't even jobs you could apply for. In Middle Eastern biblical times, listen, poverty was not something that you could work yourself out of. If you were born poor, you stayed poor. They had lower class and they had upper class, but they did not have a middle class, which is the first thing I want you to see about this wall that we built. Because if you think about American life, you do go, hey, well, if you're poor, you know, grab yourself up by your bootstraps and start grabbing things and start making your way and get a job and fill out an application. But there's something about this wall that we built. I don't know if y'all can tell, but can you see something's missing? There's no more things. It's empty. And the reason why there's no more things is because he wanted to communicate to you, listen, that at some point you can only get so far on your own. When you start down here, hear me, there's no way to get up there unless someone who is already up there reaches down here and picks you up and takes you where you cannot go. Which is why, listen, I'm not talking about money. And Jesus wasn't even talking about money when he was talking about poor. He was talking about morality. Because a lot of people would be like, I'm not a terrible person. I don't punch babies. I'm not bad. But, you know, I'm also not building orphanages in Uganda. I think 99% of us would be like, hey, I'm not the worst person, but I'm also not the best person. I'm probably like a middle person. But this wall is here to communicate to you, and I know this is going to hurt, but you got to receive it, that when it comes to goodness, there are no middle people. Here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I'm not just talking about you guys, I'm talking about me too. I'm a pastor, but if you knew the things that go through my mind, the thoughts that I struggle with, listen, I'm down here. If it had not been for the grace of God to come down, reach, and pull me up, this is the big difference. I know we live in a world full of religions. I studied all of them. That was what I got my degree in. The one difference between Christianity and any other religion in the world is simply this. Every other religion tells you how to get to heaven. Christianity is the only one that says there's no way you can get there. So heaven came to you and pulled you up and took you in. Now, I could just end it there, right? That's where most Easter sermons end. If you die, if Jesus is in your heart and you make him the Lord and Savior of your life, you'll go to heaven. Amen. I'm so grateful for heaven. I praise the Lord for it every single day. But I want you to know something that they don't tell you a lot in Easter sermons, which is Jesus didn't just die so that you could have the best afterlife. He also died so that you could have the best life. There's things in this world right now that he wants to fix and shape and give you, things that he wants to change in you. The next category, for example, was not the poor, but the prisoners. Said that he came to set the prisoners free. You know what a prisoner is, right? A prisoner is someone who got themselves into something that they can't get themselves out of. Who got themselves into something they can't get themselves out of. I think of the hundreds of millions of people who are caught in the pains of addiction right now. Whether it's alcohol, pornography, painkillers, and they've tried everything. They've tried the patch. They tried the accountability partners. They tried the interventions, and it's not working. And it's hard because when you think about it, it kind of makes sense though. Because if you're a prisoner, listen, a prisoner can't free themselves from that side of the bar. A prisoner cannot free themselves, even if what they're doing is hurting themselves. How many of us know what that's like? Have something in our life that is literally killing us that we cannot let go of. Paul would relate to you. He says in Romans 7:15, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do the things I hate. I'm stuck in it. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this? I love verse 25. Thank God the answer is Jesus. People ask me all the time, how do you know God is real, Pastor JJ? I mean, how do you know? No. If you knew my story, and I know if you've been coming for a while, you know, but for all the new people, I'm just going to share it. One of the ways I know God is real is because you're looking at someone who was addicted to pornography for over 20 years, and I stand before you today a free person. Why? Not because of anything I did, but by the grace of God, by the strength of God. He pulled me up. I tried to get free for 20 years. It didn't work, but he set me free, and it had to be him because I couldn't free myself. I tried, but prisoners can't free themselves. I think about the blind. The blind is a reference to those who have hit the wall in their health. And there's nothing that they can do, and that breaks my heart. But I love that Luke is the one writing it because Luke is a doctor. So Luke's trying to tell us, he's like, I'm a doctor, and I just got to tell you, I've seen some things. And I want you to know, I'm not just sitting here as your pastor. I'm sitting here as a witness. I've seen God do some amazing, miraculous things. I was with a friend who got into a bicycle accident, hit his head on concrete, flying off a moped, going 30 miles per hour, helmet cracked. We took CAT scans in Mexico. His brain was bleeding. We started calling all of our friends for prayer. We got him on an emergency jet from Cozumel, Mexico to Tampa General. When we get to Tampa General, after the prayers, the first thing they do is put him in the CAT scan. We bring the CAT scans from Mexico, and the doctor, when he takes the CAT scans, goes, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe their CAT scan machine is messed up or something, but we see no signs of bleeding in his brain whatsoever. It was a complete blood gone, whatever wound completely healed. I've seen hemorrhages heal. I've seen terminal cancer, you got 4 months to live, go into remission. But I've also seen God not heal the cancer. And the family members who survive fall into a deep depression because of the grief. And I've seen God pull those family members out of their depression, which tells me to tell you, God can not only heal your body, he can heal your mind too. You try therapy, you try medication, try Jesus. Jesus can heal what no one else can heal. I promise you he can. I promise you. The last one was the oppressed. The oppressed. You know what oppressed means in the Greek? It literally means to be broken into pieces. If I were to break this vase right now, which I won't because it's expensive, but y'all who know me, you know I would have, but maybe in the last service. But if I were to break it, this would break into 1,000 pieces all over the floor. And a lot of us would look at that and go, that's a great picture of my life. Something happened and there's no way we can put the pieces back together. Do you have something like that in your life? Maybe you were sexually abused as a child. How do you come back from that? Maybe you were raped as a teenager or an adult. How do you come back from that? If forever, the PTSD, it changes. Maybe you abandoned your family when they were little and like, there's no way my family can be restored. How do you come back from that? If that's you today, can I remind you of Jesus's profession while he was on this earth? He could have picked any job. He could have picked warrior because he was a fighter. He could have picked shepherd because he was a pastor. He could have picked farmer because he's developing us. You know what he picked? He picked carpenter. Today's day and age, that's a construction worker. Why would he pick a construction worker? Because he wanted you to know that he's really good at putting broken pieces back together. He's really good at restoring. He's really good. There is nothing too shattered for the Lord. What he can do in your life, I promise you, he can do it. And if you're listening to this message today and you're going, Pastor JJ, that sounds really good, but you don't know how long I've been in this area. That sounds good, but I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And if you say that to me, yay. I'm so glad you said that, because my next point, my literal next point, if you can't believe it, guess what you can do when there's nothing you can do? Number one, you can believe. When there's nothing you can do and the doctor says there is no cure and you've been addicted for 30 years, you can believe. You can always believe. John 20, 30 through 31 says this. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you can believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Oh, I'm so glad he said that you can do it by believing and not behaving. Because some of y'all look real good on Sunday morning, but if we were to take cameras and follow you back home, you'd look a whole lot different. Me too. I try, but sometimes I shout at my kids. I hope they don't catch that on camera. I'm human. I make mistakes, right? But I'm so glad it says by believing and not behaving. I'm so glad it says by believing and not building, because I try to build it. And every time I try, there always comes a point where I can't go any higher. And so believing might sound like a great thing. Believing sounds awesome. But believing, listen, is not as simple as it sounds. Well, I should say it is simple, but it's not easy, because it doesn't just say believe. It says believe in. And if you want to believe in, you got to get in. Now, this is a harness that goes with the rock climbing wall. And so how many people, you've seen this 1,000 times, you've been to theme parks and adventure parks, and you've seen the parties when they bring the inflatable one. And so you've seen it. You know this works, all right? So how many people believe that this is going to get me up that mountain? Raise your hand if you believe this is going to get me up that wall. Amen. Most of us. All right. Awesome. Cool. Next question. Who wants to get in and try? 7 people who no longer care about living. Over there. Most of us don't want to, because we're like, oh no, I know it can do it, but no thank you. No thank you. Because there's a difference between knowing and believing. And a lot of times we confuse the two. I know it works. I know I've seen it before. I know it can, but I'm not getting in it. I know Jesus does miracles. I know Jesus died on the cross. I grew up in church. My mom took me. I read the Bible. I know these things. You're telling me things I already know. Amen. But do you believe it? And if you don't believe it, that's fine. If you want to just settle for knowing it, that's cool. But if you settle for knowing it, please don't ask me the next question, which is, why is God not working in my life? Because you can know from a distance, but you can't believe from a distance, and nothing can carry you that you're not close to. You know it, but you don't know, intimately know, or connected to it. Don't confuse knowing with believing. There's another type of believing that we do. A lot of people believe like this. Yeah. They go to church. They just don't want to get plugged into a church. But they got it. What church you go to? I go to Journey. What team you serve at? Nah, I don't really. I'm not trying to show shade, by the way. You can not be on the team as long as you want. I'm just saying. People are like, I feel attacked right now. Don't worry, I'm not attacking you. I'm not telling you. You got the Bible app, you just don't open it. You got the worship songs on the playlist, you just don't sing it, and you don't worship. And so here's the thing, we like to carry it because carrying it makes me feel comfortable in case of an emergency. So I want to have enough of God that, like, if something goes down, I can be like, yo, Lord. But I don't want to get in, because if I get in it, I risk it. It's easy to come to church, but if I actually get plugged in and start building relationships, then somebody can hurt me. So we have it, hear me, but we don't apply it. And here's what we're confusing. We're confusing believing and hoping. Believing and hoping are not the same. If you want to believe, y'all, listen, you got to get in it. So can y'all help me out? Can y'all help me get in this? This thing is a riddle. I have no idea really how to do it. So I'm going to get in this. This is believing, okay? I think it's the right foot first. We'll get in there. Great. Pants should be tight enough so that they don't grab on something. All right, cool. All right. This is believing. Now, as you can tell, in this process of believing, it's already beginning to feel a little bit constricted. So already beginning to feel a little bit limited. And I think that's why a lot of people don't want to believe. Because they're like, if I start to believe this book, there's going to be things that they ask me to not do that I'm not ready to stop doing. But you might have to limit it. That's a part of belief. I mean, if you really believe it's for your good, then you might have to start limiting your alcohol intake or eliminating it. Well, is drinking alcohol a sin? No, it's not. But the Bible says if something causes you to sin, cut it off. So if you can't moderate, you might have to eliminate or limit. Some people are like, oh, well, that's messed up. Pastor JJ, you trying to take the bottle from me? You trying to take the bottle from me, Pastor JJ? I'm not trying to take anything. I'm trying to give you something. Something that's super controversial in this book. The Bible teaches that until you get married, you probably shouldn't have sex. Not probably. You shouldn't. So that's it. Now, that's a little controversial, but that's in the Bible. You're trying to take away the bottle and the booty. Pastor JJ, that's not cool. Am I supposed to have fun? I just die right now. It's starting to feel tight. Pastor JJ, it's starting to feel real tight. And I don't know if I can hang with Jesus because it's feeling tight right now. You know what else the Bible says? It says you should not give up meeting with one another. So it says you can't be not going to church. Like, that's in there, but that feels limiting, Pastor Jay. You trying to take away the bottle, the booty, and the beach? Because that's what I do on Sundays. And if you're trying to take away that from me, Lord, it's just not fun. I'm just starting to feel tight. But I promise you, the Bible's not trying to take anything away from you. If you believe it, then what you believe is that it's actually trying to give you something. My sons, and I think this is fair of all kids, they hate bedtime. Like, hate it. And if you got kids, you know the struggle. You would think you were sending your child off to the electric chair when you tell them it's bedtime. Well, my theory is that they think they're going to die. They think when they close their eyes, they're not going to open again. They just freak out. And I'm like, you need bedtime. And I heard them one night. They were staying up real late. And I could have gone in there, busted through the door, come on, you know, dad police style, taking all the electronics, shut off the lights, tape their eyelids. But I didn't do that. I was like, all right, all right, all right, all right. Okay, go ahead. In Spanish, that means it's going to come back for you. Watch. And the next day, they didn't know we were going to Disney World. So we went to Disney, and it was one of them hot summer days. And they started walking through the park. That sun was beating on this kid. We didn't get through half the rides. They looked at me, and they said, Dad, I can't. I can't. I thought we still got more rides to go. No, Dad, I can't. I said, oh, no, why not? They said, Dad, I'm tired. I said, oh, really? And why do you think you're tired, son? He looked at me. He goes, I don't know. He said, literally, he goes, I think I ate something bad. I was like, you know what? I got a theory. Maybe it's because you didn't do bedtime. And if you had done bedtime, you'd have the energy to enjoy all the things that I have for you. Listen, I wasn't trying to take something from them. I was trying to prepare them for something. My limits were not there to take away. Listen to me. Stepping into the limits God sets for you is how you get over the limits you set for yourself. When you start to say, okay, God, I'm going to give you my behavior, my actions, the things that you want, because I believe it'll serve me well. Maybe you're a child of divorce and you go, there's no way I'll ever be in a healthy marriage because I never saw one growing up. Those are the limits you set for yourself. But if you do marriage God's way, If you treat your girlfriend with respect, you'll treat your wife with reverence. If you treat the relationship now with holiness, when you get in it, it'll have holiness. This is why God sets those limits, to try and get you to enjoy the wonderful things that he has for you. Well, I hate my job on Monday. I just hate my job. There's nothing you can ever do. That's the limit I've set for myself. I hate my job. Listen, if you hate your job on Monday, fall in love with God on Sunday. Because when you come to church on Sunday, he's going to give you new eyes for your job. He's going to give you a new mission for your job, a new appreciation for your job, a gratitude for the people that are helping pay to supply and provide for your family. The things that he's asked you to not do are so that he can do things in your life. If you got it, say amen. All right, but I'm not done yet. I can't just take this and climb the wall. I'm obviously not ready. I can't just use this and be like, all right, good, because if I fall, I go, ah, and then I die. Because I'm missing something. What am I missing? Yeah, I'm not up the road. I'm limited, but I'm not yet hooked in. In other words, this isn't going to work until I put my weight on it. In other words, believing isn't just about what not to do. It's also about what to do. And if you really believed, you do it. My son, Zane, was asking me the other day for money. He was like, Dad, can I have some money? I was like, no. He was like, Dad, can I have some money? I was like, no. He was like, Dad, can I have some money? I was like, no, man. And why do you keep asking me? I never forget what he said. He said, because I know you got it. We go on vacations. I know you got it, man. I was so blown away by his answer. I gave him the money. Because as he was speaking to me, the Lord was speaking to me. And he was like, JJ, you know how I know my children believe in me? When they keep asking me for things that they're not getting, but that they know I have. Here's how we're going to put our weight on it. You ready? Here's how we're going to put our weight on it. You got some kind of sickness in your body? Is it in your mind? Is there a mental health thing? Is it a physical thing? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your hand. Every morning that you wake up, I want you to put it on the sick part of your body. And every morning, I want you to declare God's healing over that part of you. Put your weight on what you say you believe. And if you ever get up one morning and go, you know what? I think I'm just going to skip that morning. I'm not going to pray for that thing. Then maybe what you're really saying is because I don't believe God's got it anyway. Believe in it. I believe the Lord is my provider. Amen. But if you really believe the Lord is your financial provider, and I'm not attacking anybody, what are your thoughts on tithing? Because tithing is the Christian practice of giving God the first 10% of your income, and we don't do it because the church needs it. We give it to God through the church, and the reason why we give it to him is because we believe that it all comes from him, 100% of it. And so when we do that, listen, tithing is putting my weight on God as my provider. So don't tell me, listen, don't tell me you gave God a try if you never put your weight on him. Don't work that way. Here's the last thing you can do. You can believe, and there's one other thing you can do. All right. Martin, you ready? All right. Take me up. All right, let's try it again. Martin, take me up. Why can't you? He said, I can't because you won't let go. What can you do when there's nothing you can do? Number one, you can believe. Number two, listen, you can surrender. Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Because here's what I found. A lot of people believe that God can do it. They just don't like the way he's doing it. So be like, Lord, I believe you can deliver me, but can you pick it up a little bit? Because I've been wrestling with this thing for 10 years, and I'm ready to go a little bit faster. And I believe you got a man for me, Lord, but it's been a long time. So if we can kind of pick up the speed here, it'd be great. Or we complain that God's moving too fast. You ever been there? You ever ask God to do something in life, and then he does it all at once? And you're like, Lord, slow down, Lord. I didn't want everything to change. I said, change me. I lost my job. I lost my husband. I lost my kid. Everything in 1 second. Okay, you tell me, later. Not now. Oh, we don't like the direction. God, I want to go this way. I wanted this to end in healing, but the doctors are saying it's ending in death. I don't want to go that way. I want to go this way. And what you need to hear me is that, listen, sometimes your wall is your will. And the thing you got to get over isn't an obstacle. It's you. I had to live this out in my life. A lot of people know the story, some don't, so I go back and I share it. Every Easter I share the story. I have 2 kids, but I had 3. And my third one was born 9 years ago. He would be 10 next year. He would have celebrated his ninth birthday this year. But unfortunately, he passed away 7 hours after being born. And I remember the night before the C-section, the doctor met with us and said, I just want you guys to know there's a 99.9% chance that this boy is going to pass away. And we have pictures of him, video of him. He was born. Beautiful eyes, amazing. Just beautiful. And the doctor said, 99.9% chance. And I looked at that doctor in the face and I said, so you're telling me there's a chance? Because then when he left, I told Liz, I said, I wonder what percent chance he would have gave on Jesus coming out of the dead after 3 days. I believe it can happen. And so that morning we woke up, man, and we woke up with faith, Pastor Liz and I. We woke up in faith. We were doing all the right things. The doctor told us to abort. We didn't abort. We accepted the limits that God set. We started praying. We started fasting. We got church behind us. We did everything that we could. And then it was time for the baby to be born. And when it was time for the baby to be born, there's no more thingies. I was at the end of me. So then I took a leap of faith. That's what we all have to do at some point. That's what you're going to have to do after this service. That's what you're going to have to do in a couple minutes. You're going to have to take a leap of faith because you can only go so far. And so I said, all right, Lord, I'm ready for this baby to be born. It's going to be a miracle. You're going to resurrect them. It's going to be beautiful. I can't wait. I'm going to preach about it one day. So I'm going to do a leap of faith. Martin, you ready? You ready, Jesus? 1, 2, 3. Oh. And exactly what you saw just happened. I prayed and I hit the wall. I didn't get my miracle that I prayed for. Or at least I thought I didn't. Because looking back 9 years now, I did get the miracle. It's just not the miracle I thought. Y'all don't see it. You missed it. This is a miracle. Because I jumped. But I did not fall. And sometimes the miracle is not what you get over. Sometimes the miracle is what you get through. God doesn't promise that you'll get over everything, but he does promise you'll get through anything with his help. Will you bring me down real quickly? Thank you. I never noticed this in the story before. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. These are Jesus's, you know, women in the ministry. They love him so much. They wanted to anoint his body with oil, his dead body, as a form of worship to say, thank you for all that you did in my life. Here's my question that I never thought about. I appreciate the heart, women, but how are you planning to get in? There was a big stone weighing 2 tons in front of Jesus' tomb. You weren't getting in. And on top of the stone, it was sealed with wax. And on top of that, there were Roman guards guarding it. So the Bible says the women didn't have a plan. That on the way to the tomb, they were like, how are we getting in there? And they started to strategize. And I don't know what was going on in that meeting, but maybe one of them looked over at the other woman and they were like, hey, listen, when we get there, you start flirting with that guard. Be like, Mary Magdalene, I know that's your testimony. And that's not who you are anymore. But we need you to go back BC before Christ. You know what I'm saying? Get him out the way. Get down with it. Then I'll come. I'll break the seal. We get in there. You know, we got that. No. Here's what I really believe. Ready? I believe that they weren't expecting to get in. They were just like, hey, I'm going to worship him whether I hit the wall or not. If that stone is still there when we get there, we'll just leave those oil here. But I'm not going to let others or my situation or my lack of a miracle keep me from worshiping the Lord because I'm not expecting to get in. But you know what else they weren't expecting? For him to get out. Which tells me God doesn't always meet your expectations, but he does always surpass them. Because with God, walls, like that stone that was rolled away, have wheels. Push. Push it. We're good. Good, we got it. I'm like, I promise it has wheels. And I wanted to show you this because the stone that was rolled away, listen to me, it was still there. It was just rolled away. In other words, they could see it, but they were able to walk past it. I'm trying to preach my anxiety. I can still see it. But now after Jesus, I can see it, but it doesn't stop me anymore from having the joy that I have in my life. Hey, I'm still broke, but even though I'm broke, somehow I never missed a payment. I never missed a bill. I never missed a car payment. My kids still got shoes. I still got the diagnosis. I'm still sick, but I'm still standing. I'm still jumping. I'm still worshiping. It doesn't stop me from getting into God's presence. Hey, I still wrestle with sin, but somehow I'm still in church, and I still got forgiveness, and I still got hope. It doesn't stop me. I still see my depression sometimes, but it doesn't stop me from raising a family or being a dad or being a mom. It can't keep me out. I see the stone, but it's rolled away. It's rolled away. It's rolled away. Listen to me. The stone is rolled away, and your stone is rolled away too. All you got to do is believe and surrender. But believing's not easy. You got to be willing to strap in. You got to be willing to give up your plans for God's plans. But he's calling somebody home today. He's calling somebody home today. Every head bow, every eye closed. If you're in this room, every head bow, every eye closed. Father, I thank you for all those who are gathered here today. God, I believe you're doing something in their life. I believe you're ministering. I believe you're touching. I believe you're opening eyes, Lord. I believe you're penetrating the coldness. And people who have had areas of their life that they wish they could change. People in their life who they love that they wish that they could change. I've been this way for 50 years, 60 years. There's no way. Don't tell me. I've seen God raise the dead. He can change you. Do you believe? Do you believe? If you believe and if you surrender, I want everyone in this room to pray this prayer after me. Everyone say, Father God, I can't do it. I've hit the wall, and I need you in my life. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, and that you died and resurrected and are preparing a place for me. I believe you forgive my sins. And I surrender. My plans. My expectations. For your better plans. Today, Lord, I make you my Lord. And I make you my Savior. Here's what we would typically do. Listen now. Here's what we would typically do. I would ask you to raise your hand if you made that decision. I want to do it different today. I want everybody in the room to grab this little piece of paper. Quickly, quickly, if you can. Not even if you're not going to fill it out. You're either seated on it. Or your it's in front of you, seat back pocket. If you tap the seat back pocket with your phone, it'll show up digitally, and you can fill it out digitally. You don't have to fill it out, but I'm asking everybody at least grab it. Just grab it for me. Do me that favor. Just hold it in your hand as I talk to you. There's a little section here that says A, B, C, D, and I want you to check whichever box is you. A, I already know God personally. B, I'm beginning a real relationship with God. So if you're already a Christian, you can check A. But B, listen, if you made that prayer and God touched your heart, and maybe it's not just for the first time. Maybe it's for the first time in a long time. I want you to check B. I'm ready to give out a real relationship. I want to try today. I want you to let us know you made that decision. And I want you to take time to fill that out and really pray because you're giving up a lot. C, I want to consider, but you're getting so much more. What God wants to do in my life. And D, I don't have intentions of following Jesus. Why would you put that on that card? Because last year we had D's that became B's the year after. I want to know and I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. So I'm going to do one more prayer. I'm going to say amen. We're going to sing a worship song. Nobody leaving. Fill out that card. When the song is done, our campus pastor will come out and dismiss you. Father, we thank you for who you are. Touch hearts right now. I believe surrender is on the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message, and we would love to hear your story and how this ministry is changing your life. Please email us at amen@journeyorl.com. And if you would like to support financially, you can give online at journeyorl.com/give. If you're in the area, join us on Sunday for the full experience. Have a blessed week.